Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
If you're constantly on the hunt for a good deal, then you need Rakuten. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, traveling, dining, and more. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cash back really adds up.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 48. Say, would you like to be on the Nerdist Podcast? Then this is your lucky moment in time. We're auctioning off a co-hosting seat on one episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Be the second Matt or the second Jonah. It's your choice. Second Chris slot, not available. It's all part of Comedy Death Ray's massive comedy charity auction for the LA Regional Food Bank. All the proceeds will go to feed people who are less fortunate than yourself. I know you feel like you might not be that fortunate, but there are people who are less fortunate than you, and we want to put foods in their mouths. Yes, I said foods. If you go to comedydeathray.com, you can follow the link to see all the auctions that they got going on for comedy stuff, and you can make a bid to be on an episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Transportation not provided. The auction ends on December 11th, so you got a little bit of time. Also, the Nerdist Podcast live at Meltdown Comics on December 15th. Come see some live stand-up. It's going to be an all-stand-up comedy episode of the Nerdist Podcast devoted to comedians you should know. So details for that are at Nerdist.com. And also, the Nerdist Podcast shirts are here. We are accepting pre-orders until next week. So there's going to be a limited run of those, so make sure and get yours now. And then stuff them in someone's stocking, maybe your own stocking. I don't know what your life looks like. Details for that are also at the aforementioned Nerdist.com. And now this episode. So recently I became pals on Twitter with a dude named Jason Mayhem Miller. If you don't know, Mayhem is an MMA fighter who makes balloon animals, but with people. This guy is got a bunch of nerdly pursuits. He's been on G4 a bunch of times, loves video games. He's got his own show on MTV called Bully Beatdown, which if you're a nerd, you can seriously appreciate the concept of this show. And I do want to apologize in advance. I kept saying to Mayhem during the interview, oh, as a UFC fighter, ... I meant MMA. I didn't realize there were different circuits because I'm an idiot. Jason actually fights for Strike Force. I am correcting myself right now so that when you hear it on the podcast, you don't send me hate tweets and hate emails telling me what a douche nut I am. I get it. I know. I'm sorry. I just didn't know the sport very well. But this is why I had him on, to learn these types of things. By the way, if you do tweet and email me that I'm a douche nut because you're an MMA fan and not a Chris Hardwick fan, which, by the way, probably not too much crossover between those two. The Venn diagram of MMA fans and Chris Hardwick fans, there's probably not a blending of those circles. So I'm going to say that if you do send those hateful tweets and emails, I will send my new big brother, Mayhem Miller, to twist your fucking head off. Okay, well, I hope you enjoy this episode. Mayhem was super fun to hang out with. He's an incredibly nice guy who just happens to be able to murder people with his hands. So here we go, the Nerdist episode number 48 with Mayhem Miller.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
And now for my radio training. Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. Hey. I am Chris Hardwick. To the left of me is Matthew Myra. Jonah Ray is on assignment on another job that pays him. So Jonah couldn't be here. I am sitting across from Jason Mayhem Miller.
That was the worst announcer voice I've ever heard.
That's why I don't have that job.
All right, good.
I have just proved why I don't have that job.
I'm freaking pumped to be here, Chris Hardwick.
I am pumped that you're here, Mayhem. Now, let me just give you a little background. I don't know a lot about UFC fighting because it resembles sports to me.
Well,
and that's
mixed martial arts is a
listen, mixed martial arts, that doesn't count as sports. I don't watch football.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it's I don't watch baseball, basketball, anything. Well, I just watch fighting, and fighting is his own thing.
And here's what I have learned about you is that we sort of became pals on Twitter.
Twitter pals! Yeah, I'm stoked. We're Twitter friends.
Twitter works!
It does work.
Twitter works.
I have still never boned anybody off it, but today could be the day.
Loosen up those fight shorts. Oh, you're not wearing fight shorts. Those are called fight shorts. Is that a technical term? Is that
accurate? I'm on a Lady Gaga kick. My fight shorts are made out of bacon.
Nice. We became 12 on Twitter, and I was like, hey, this guy's funny. Like, he's funny. He watches G4. He definitely has a nerd nestled in those rippling.
I'm a nerd, full-on nerd. I'm a fighting nerd. I can kick you in the face. However, I'm pretty nerdy. I can also beat you in Modern Warfare.
As you're falling to the ground, you'll talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, something.
He will punch your face before he will scratch your iPad.
Yeah,
that's
it's true.
But and so I just thought, wow, we've never had anyone remotely from any kind of physical profession on this podcast, and I'm so fascinated by the concept of USC. Like, I understand why it's super cool. I just, for whatever reason, it's just rare that I ever watch.
Yeah,
it.
Well, the thing about it is it's kind of gotten this surge into popularity, and I do a show called Bully Beatdown.
Oh, we're going to talk
every
about
Thursday
Bully Beatdown.
Every Thursday at 11 o'clock only on MTV.
MTV, I've heard of them.
I know. But I do this, that show that kind of is reaching out to everybody to go, hey, this is mixed martial arts. And basically, mixed martial arts is just fighting, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just a way of doing fighting. Fighting in a way that's awesome, like the kickbox and wrestle, and it's just a gentleman street fight is all mixed martial arts is, and it's kind of weird that it has gotten so huge because my old man when I started doing it was like, boy, you're a goddamn idiot, go to computer school, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna be a fighter, dad, and he's like, fight it, nobody even does that, and you know, nowadays it's like. Instead of skateboarding, kids hang out at the fight shop.
I think you could have gone to computer school and in the yard by the dumpster behind computer schools, kick the shit out of people.
Listen, bro, I was making – the reason my dad's in computer school is because I was, like, dorking out so hard and making Doom levels. I made Doom levels.
You made your own Doom levels?
Oh, my God. All I did was drink Dr. Pepper and stay up all night and make Doom levels for an entire summer.
Well, how does a guy like who does that even occur to him, like, I might be able to beat the shit out of people?
Well, no. I was already like.
Well, he's murdering monsters in Doom. He's
I mean, I would fight.
Rarely translates, Matt.
Yeah, that's true. I would fight all the time, like, in my neighborhood. Like, I was like the tough guy.
Where'd you grow up?
Like, North Carolina.
Nice.
Was where I was from at the time. Like, I grew up on army bases all the time.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just crazy. You know, it was kind of like I was like in that weird, awkward age of like, I want to be a skateboarder. Oh, wait, no, I like video games. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, like, you know, you don't know what you're doing. And my dad, like, I got arrested one time and my dad made me like go to do a Tony Robbins book. Like, I swear to God, like, he made me sit down.
Did you awaken the giant within?
Man, I awoken the giant within. Yeah, man, and my gums are not as big as his, but, man, my heart is just as big.
Yes.
I was really pumped. I was like, I hated my dad at the moment, but all those exercises that you had to do inside of there, like, really actually worked. Like, I was like, oh, damn it, I owe Tony Robbins a big pat on the back. Because one of the things you had to do was write what you're good at, you know, and I had got arrested for stealing wood to build a skateboard ramp. That was my big.
I don't think any court would convict you.
I know.
I
was only 15 I was only 15 and I had mastermind this plan with all my like 16-year-old buddies.
That sounds like something that you would do in Victorian times and they'd put you in a workhouse.
I hoped you were stealing the wood to build a real life Doom level.
No, I wish, man. Oh my God. BFG 9000. We got arrested and whatever, and I didn't get in really trouble for it, but my dad put me in Miller boot camp. My dad is like a army sergeant. Like,
oh, shit.
And he was like infantry, 3rd of the 504th Infantry Battalion. We are tank killers. Who up, motherfucker?
Yeah.
I can say motherfucker, right?
Yes.
And And so he threw me in Miller Boot Camp, where I had to wake up real early and like stand at attention in the backyard. And like he would like, make your bed. And I'll make my bed. And then he's like, tear the bed apart, even though I made it perfectly. And like, it's not good enough. Make it again.
Now,
like, oh, my God.
Were you like, oh, I just made that.
Yeah,
Come on.
Totally
what
was.
Are you doing?
Yeah, I was 16. Come on. So or 15. And so he's like, whatever, like, I had to do part of my training was, like, sit at a table all day long and, like, do this Tony Robbins crap. And I had to make a list of things that I'm good at. And I knew I was good at fighting. Like,
yep.
I knew I was good at fighting. And I knew I was good at making people laugh, mm-hmm. you know. So it's like, and it's so weird. Here I come 10 years later, I'm, like, being a comedian on MTV and freaking fighting people in Japan, kicking people in the head. I'm like, wow. You know, hey, it worked out. Good job, Dad. You really damn.
But I'm still going to beat the shit out of you for the bed thing.
Oh, man. I beat the shit out of my dad a few times. That's an epic. Oh, man. We had some epic battles. If you want me to get onto that story, I could go all day. Me and my dad gotten some knockdown dragouts. Like I said, he's in the Army.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, you got to be tough to be in my house. Like,
right.
that, like, boy, you know, when you're a man, no, when you could kick my ass, you're a man.
Let me just say, I would have died quickly in your dad's
house. Yeah. Well, my house is like different. It's like a redneck kind of angry guy, let's get in a fist fight kind of, you know. And to my dad, since his job was to yell at young guys,
mm-hmm.
when you're a teenager, you're just another young guy for him to yell at.
Yeah.
So he's screaming at me and whatever, and I'm like, I'm not in your fucking army. Like, I'm army of one right here, baby.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of headbutting in that deal. You know, like, a lot of coming up against each other. And he always said, you know, well, you can kick my ass, you're a man. Man, you know what happened when I kicked his ass? He was like, you got to get out of my house. Like, damn it, man. I finally beat him up, and now look what happens. I lost my free ride, so... Yeah, so I left the house at that point, and I did some homelessness for a while and was training to fight and learning how to fight all in my like, you know, right after high school years. I just like zigzagged the country going to different gyms to learn how to fight and living in their parking lots. And
now at this point there's not really UFC to
speak
of. Yeah,
there's UFC. Now there's a dark time for UFC and mixed martial arts in general where there was like it was kind of a almost illegal. Like, it was like, you know, because it's just the way the world works. Like, there's a hot button topic and the politicians jump all over it. Like, oh my God, Ultimate Fighting is bad. Like, we need to outlaw this. And it's like, why do you care that much? There's other stuff going on. It's the same thing. Gay marriage is wrong. Like, listen, do you guys really care that who gives a damn? Oh, it's just to distract you from the real problems that's happening in politics, you know?
Right.
Like, oh, my God. Like, we don't want to look at, you know, I do the same thing. Like, when I have, like, I write for Fight Magazine.
Yeah.
Like, when I have an article due and I don't want to write it, I'll start texting chicks. Like, I'm like, oh, hey, baby, what's going on? Like, what's the point of that? Oh, to distract me from the real work that I have to do, you know?
Right,
and that's just
right.
The way America works.
So I think ultimately what you're saying is that if politicians would text more chicks,
yeah,
that gay marriage would be legal as it should be, and there would be a lot better.
You could have mixed martial arts inside New York State.
Mixed martial arts in the schools.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me because I read one of the Bruce Lee books. And just
the
sort
Tao of Jeet Kune Do?
No, not that one. I don't think it was an autobiography. I think it was just
No, that's his fighting book.
That was his fighting
book.
Definitely not that
actually,
book.
Actually, if you read that book, that was like the beginning of mixed martial arts. If Bruce Lee didn't die, we probably would have had MMA in the States a lot quicker.
Well, that's what was so fascinating about it is that because like people who were traditional martial arts experts look down on him because he was like, no, you have to use all of these different schools of thought and pull it all together.
Yeah, he was progressive, but the thing was sad because before he could really like pull that all together, boom, he's dead.
Yeah.
So, but like, yeah, he, you know, if you look early, he was doing grappling and he realized how important wrestling was. And I think he fought somebody on the set one time. Like they did
really?
A little sparring match and a guy was a wrestler and just took Bruce Lee down and Bruce Lee couldn't do anything. So he was like, wow. Wrestling is like important. And now if you look at mixed martial arts and if you think about fighting in general, most of a fight is wrestling
mm-hmm.
because even look at boxing. The rules are punch each other in the face, mm-hmm. okay? And that's the rules. But how many times around do you see the guys grab onto each other and hold onto each other?
Right.
The difference is, in a real fight, you can throw the guy on the ground. You know, when there's no rules against throwing the guy down, you can throw the guy down on the ground.
I mean, I have a joke about it because my trainer, who is I have a trainer. I've had a trainer for many years because
you are in good shape. I gotta say that.
I appreciate that. That is a high compliment coming from you. And my trainer, by the way, when I told him that I was podcasting you today, he was like, "I love that guy. I good. Love Bully Beatdown." He was like, "I Mayhem's great. You have to tell him that Tom says hi." So Tom says hi.
Tom says hi.
But, you know, he has that sort of Bruce Lee philosophy. So a lot of my training is, like, some days it's boxing, some days it's, you know, it's weight, some days it's yoga and stretching. Just, like, his philosophy is, you know, I want you to leave here feeling better than when you got here, which is so much better than most trainers who will be like, I'm going to fucking break you in half. Like, he really wants it to be, like, a holistic experience. Yeah. And it's really fascinating. And one of the things is that I did a lot of boxing training with him. But I have a joke about it in my act where I say, yeah, so now I know how to box sort of. So if I'm on a bar and someone shoves me, but then they hold up two mitts, I could hit those mitts. But if that guy tackled me or started swinging back, like it's all over. Like,
you'd be surprised. If you've been hitting pads and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised. If you do get in a bar fight, you'll be surprised that you will actually throw some punches like you throw them in the practice room.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you'll hit somebody good. Like I've seen people shocked before, like, oh my god, like, wow, that just happened.
There's two things that I know about actually punching someone in the face that I've learned from TVs and movies. Number one, it makes this sound.
Yeah.
Number two, a lot of the time when nerdier people hit people, they are shocked at how much their hand hurts. So cool. I don't want to get in a fight because I don't want to be like, yeah, punch. Oh, my hand. I just broke my hand in five places.
Yeah, you know, if you're not used to punching, that's for sure, man. Like, your hand, like, I've seen big, tough dudes who, like, my buddy's a wrestler.
Yeah.
And he's a really great, fantastic wrestler, super athlete, like, super strong guy. Never used to punching or kicking. He looks ridiculous right now. His hands are all, like, blistered up from punching the pads, and his feet are all deteriorated. I'm like, wow, you are such a manly dude, and your feet and hands are girly, you know, because you're not used to – it's like a certain amount of conditioning that it takes to get there.
Is it that thing from Kill Bill where you have to just punch the board over and over again?
Oh, yeah. Let's just train right now.
That's what you got to do. Literally punching through the table with his fist.
Okay, I'm getting tired.
All right, yeah, I would have quit after half of that. I want to know, like, what when you first started this journey of, like, okay, I'm good at hitting people, I'm good at getting in fights. Did you know, like, did you subconsciously did you know, like, well, I think I'm gonna go to MMA, or you just kind of thought?
No,
like,
I knew. No, because I had just heard about mixed martial arts, like, from my friend.
Yeah.
Like, right before that all went down, where I got arrested, my dad like set me off on, like, you better learn to do something with your life, like, kind of thing, because you're going down the wrong path. Like, right around that time was the time that I had heard about fighting and had, like, kind of experienced it. So it was in my mind that, like, man, you know what? There's a definite avenue there. And if this Ultimate Fighting thing starts getting bigger, I can, you know, be a star in this.
And how did you get involved? How'd you get involved with USC?
Man, it's just, you know, like, now I fight for Strikeforce. Let me make that clear.
Okay. Because
the UFC is, like, the way the leagues are set up, it's like the UFC has their fighters and keeps everyone tight on contract, and Strikeforce has theirs and keeps everyone tight on contract. And it's weird. It's like a weird, I don't know, like, they argumentative, you know.
There's,
like,
a politics.
Yeah.
Like, whenever there's money, there's politics.
Damn right.
Yeah.
And so at the time, like, I just was like, any fighter, you have to kind of build your name. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just fought a million times, like, in these backwoods shows that were, some were illegal. I fought here in California in a legal show, like, at the Palladium. They had illegal fights and stuff that, you know, because there's no commission taking over it.
Now, was that the one where Peter Parker showed up in sweatpants beat Macho Man Randy Savage?
It was about the same.
I mean, Bonesaw.
Yeah, Bonesaw.
Bonesaw is ready.
How awesome is it? Macho Man Randy Savage is in a movie, like, out of nowhere. Where is I want to hang out with Macho Man.
I think he has snapped into a Slim Jim. Well, I'm not 100% sure.
Ever since the world lost Miss Elizabeth, he's been
really. Oh, what? Miss Elizabeth's dead?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what that means.
How fun would it be to smoke some weed with Macho Man Randy Savage?
I think, like, not as fun as you think.
I picture him just to keep
Although
up that voice.
There would be an abundance of Slim Jims.
I keep up. I just imagine him to keep up that voice, like during the day, just hearing him doing vocal exercise, like yeah. La 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 la. Yeah.
I'm Macho Man Randy.
Yeah, that would kill your voice after a while to talk like that. To talk like you're shitting all the time would be a tremendous strain on your voice. A tremendous strain on your
and
voice.
And on your rectum.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if he was he was trying to figure out what his voice was going to be, like his character voice, and he was in the bathroom. He was like, I'll be out in a second. And they were like, that's it.
Yeah, that's
fucking it. You got to run with that, Macho Man. So you're fighting in these, you're fighting, and it also reminds me, like, one of my dad's favorite movies is a movie called Hard Times with Charles Bronson, and oh, then yeah. Any Which Way But Loose yeah. with Clint Eastwood, which is all about those backwoods, you know, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Underground fight club?
Underground fight clubs. Nice. Yeah, but like redneck. And Any Which Way yeah. But Loose, they're driving across the country and doing like redneck fight club. It's awesome.
Man, I gotta watch
so,
that.
So, that's what you're doing, basically. And what ages is that?
I was like 18, 19, 20. Like, I was just a kid, like, going around. Like, I fought my first fight instead of taking the chick to the prom.
Oh my gosh.
I took her to my fight, which was cool because I wasn't going to prom anyway. I was a dork. But, you know, I was like a freak kid. So I was like, whatever, I'm not going to the prom. Come watch my fight. And she watched my fight and I won. And it was a weird experience to just be, you know, that young doing it. And then I just started skirting around the country and getting a fight where I could. And
I love your prom pictures. There's just blood all over her dress.
Yeah. I think it was like. You know, I would just go around $200 here. Some fights were like no money.
Yeah.
And like just trying to make a name for yourself, you know? And
oh my God, that's like, it's just, you're basically talking about fight open mics.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's totally that. I see the parallel between comedians because like I have so many comedian friends and I see that it's like, oh, well, you got to pay your dues now.
Yeah.
Like, you got to pay them now and then hopefully, you know, boom, you get that big break. But and that's what kind of what happened. I just kept fighting and showing people that I'm good at it. And then all of a sudden you get like a call from like a slightly bigger show. And then the slightly bigger show, usually what happens is they bring you in there to get your ass kicked.
Right.
Like that's that. Oh, we need some knucklehead kid to lose to our big star. You go in and beat their big star. Then all of a sudden you get to be their star. You know, it's like you get built. And I built up in Hawaii like that. Like they brought me in to get my ass kicked by this guy. I went and beat him up. And then everybody was impressed. And then I just kept winning. So
eventually what happens, like someone from like Strike Force sends out a scout or something and they see you fight. And they're
well,
like,
it's not a scout. It's the internet, man. The internet age. You know, everyone has posts on the internet like, oh, there you go. Here's. You know, let's grab this guy off there. And because the MMA really survived through a dark time because when it was all illegal, internet, like 1998, 99, all internet. Like we were just on the internet. Like everybody was like talking about fights.
I love this.
Websites. I know.
Pugilistic nerds.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, it's the nerds that kept it alive, you know? So I think I'm stoked on that. But now, we don't need you anymore, nerds. We got TV.
You still need the nerds.
Yeah,
you still need
I'm
the
just
nerds.
Kidding,
you guys are the like the T-1000 nerds.
Yes.
You're like the next generation model of like they can fight and they can use the internet.
Well, the T-850 was Arnold in the second movie. He was the T-800 in the original movie.
Thank you for correcting me.
I'm just saying.
No, it was listen.
And then the T-1000 obviously is the next evolution of that.
Your pedantic nature is entirely
I would think
appreciated.
Playing a Skynet tech, you would know the.
No. Yeah, how do you not know that? Wait, you were in Skynet Tech?
I was in Terminator 3. I was in Terminator 3. Yeah, I know. You probably wouldn't recognize me, though, because I was about 40 pounds heavier.
Nice.
But it's not important. Technically, you never saw me die. Maybe they should have brought me back for a salvation. But from what I heard about Terminator Salvation, I feel like I may have dodged a bullet.
Terminator Salvation was not that bad.
Was it? I didn't
see
it.
It was not that bad.
If you went back in time and told 12-year-old Matt Myra there would be a Terminator 4 and you would not go see it.
You know who would have to go back in time and tell you that? A Terminator. Because they have the power to travel back in time.
They're wasting their time.
I know. I can't wait to stand in that cube all naked.
You know, that's the ones where they're trying to make a living. Like Terminator Graham. And they go back in time to deliver a message to your younger self.
You're going to see Terminator Salvation.
Yeah. Are you going to kill me? Nah, it's, you could tip me, though. You could tip me.
Come with me if you want to live and see this movie.
The future's expensive.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating. I love this idea. You know, listen, what fascinates me about UFC is that, at least from an outsider's perspective, it seems to have, you know, like, I don't. How much crossover is there between like WrestleMania and boxing and UFC? Like UFC seems to have the theatricality elements of wrestling, but you know the more.
You know what? Honestly, the UFC does that less. Strike. When I fight in Japan, you got to look at what I do in Japan. In Japan, because I fight in Dream in Japan, which is like the big organization. It's like the UFC in Japan.
Okay.
And then like they're on like normal television over there, like TBS. It's called.
I don't think there's normal television.
Well, no, man. In Japan, you think that it's like super high tech, and they have like 600 channels. They got like 9 channels that everybody watches over there.
Crazy.
Yeah, they're all they're wacky game shows and whatnot, and it's really it's cool. It's a different world out there. I love Japan. And it's like nerd heaven out there. And so I'm on the normal television broadcasting. I do before every fight a giant like dance number. Like I have always like six like girls in Japanese schoolgirl uniforms, and like we're doing a dance, and like before I go to the ring, like that's theatrics.
Now America, are these girls are they sexually assaulted by tentacles?
Nah, man, I wish. If I had some tentacles,
as hentai has led me to believe.
I know, man. I love that. What is that? A Tokidori? What is that movie called? I know what movie you're talking about. There's one movie in particular where it's all about those tentacles.
Well, there was when I was a kid, we had passed around this tape called Urotsuki Doji.
Demon
City,
that's right.
Demon City, and that's what it was. These demons would basically like have sex with these young girls, and then the girls would explode.
Yeah,
well, of course.
And then some tentacles would fuck some other
people. Purple tentacle dicks, fucking a chick. Like I was like, what? Are you kidding me?
Hyperbole.
I'd love to see like a Woody Allen hentai, like a tentacle creature that second guessed itself a lot, and it was like. I don't know. I mean, I should be raping this girl, but I just, I feel like.
I can put some D in it.
That's Bully Beatdown, Thursdays at 11 on FTV. I just want to attach this together.
Maybe the Japanese businessman starts dating his stepdaughter.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens. She's a much younger girl. She's in a schoolgirl outfit. Kind of happened. Kind of happened in real life.
It happened.
Woody Allen's life actually was a hentai porn.
All my clarinet performances.
but this is really fascinating. But what I love about the parallels between, I feel like there's a lot of parallels between what you do and the life of a comedian.
The life of a comedian is strikingly similar because we're both artists.
Strikingly, get it?
Nice.
We're both artists. Like, that's the root of it. We're artists.
Traveling artists.
Yeah, you have to, like, practice your craft and go and learn from better people. And, like, you hang out, you know, the more you are, like, immersed in that,
mm-hmm.
the more stage time you get, the better you get at it. You
sure.
Know?
And like when you bomb and you realize that the worst thing that's going to happen is that you bomb and you're okay. I mean, it's the same time for the first time you get the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah, but
it's
got to feel terrible, man. I've seen guys go up
feel great.
And get like just like no reaction from the audience, and I'm like, ooh, that's got to feel like shit, you know. And at the same time, like if you go in and get kicked in the face, you're like, wow, that felt like shit.
That really did. And here's the physical proof, the scarring where my eye blew up. At least you don't get that. If you're lucky, that will not happen at a comedy club. Someone will not kick you in the face.
I hope so.
But what do you do? You know, like, so for a comic, if you're bombing, you just have to learn to adjust really quickly. And I think that is another. But that's another part of MMA that is fascinating to me is that, you know, you go up against guys with styles that might be might be unpredictable.
Yeah.
So what do you do if you're in the what do you do when you're in the ring and all of a sudden you're like, I'm getting the shit kicked out of me?
Yeah, no, you got to make a change. Like I've done it both ways, like where I kicked the guy's ass in the first round, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Ha-ha!" Like, man, that was so easy. And then the guy makes an adjustment in the second round, and he comes out and starts whooping my ass. Like, oh my God, I'm getting my ass kicked right now. And then I go back in between the round. I survived the round, barely. Like, I was like, oh my God, he's beating my head in right now. And I went back to the corner, and because my coach had said in the second round, he's going to come out crazy right now. He's going to come out and throw punches. I was like, yeah, whatever. And I sat down, and then he bombed on me the whole second round. I went back to the corner, sat down, and was like, oh, I'm sorry. And to my coach, and he's like, you idiot. I told you he's going to go. I'm like, I know. I'm sorry. And I went out there, beat him up, and made the adjustment, took him down, submitted him, you know, and like – you have to make those adjustments in real time. That's what's beauty. That's like the beauty of the sport.
So just, it's like a real live double dragon. Basically, yeah. it's like the most accurate depiction of what those games were.
Like a comedian has a closing act. Do you have a closing move?
I like to jump on a dude's back and choke his neck off. But you know, if I can't get there,
I would like to do that too. I'm less likely. It's like the Cracker Barrel bit. The choking. I want to know what's going on. Like, what's good? Are you? How aware do you become in the fight? Like, you know, like when it slows down, like that, when it slows down to Spider-Man time where where everything just really slows down and you're focused on the fight, like what is going through your head? Are you thinking at all, or are you just reacting?
Man, I will tell you the truth. I'll be in there and I feel like I'm kind of like driving a robot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll just in there playing a video game. Like I feel like I'm outside myself, watching myself kind of. And I could tell like sometimes the robot doesn't have enough steam in it or something. I have to recharge for a second. It's like weird, disassociative, you know, like I pull myself back out of it, and I'm in there fighting. And I don't know. The other thing is like weird stuff, like she's a cold-hearted snake. Oh, look into her eyes. Uh-oh. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm like, yeah. And one time I got slammed on my head real hard. The guy picked me up and slammed me. I was like, whoa. And like I kind of went blanked out for a second. And then I heard my mom like going, Jason, come up the stairs. And I was like, imagine myself 12 years old running up the stairs. And I came back. I'm like, oh my God, I'm fighting right now. Like, get with it right now.
That
kind of
cinematic shit really happens?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. And I will think weird songs out of nowhere. Or like, I'll just think the weirdest.
Cold-hearted Snake would make me want to hit someone really hard.
Why? I'm like, why did I just think Cold-Hearted Snake?
Because it makes you angry. It makes you want to kill someone.
Right?
Because it's not a good song.
I know. Paula Abdul. I love her.
I would always have wanted to, just because I want to talk for a second about Bully Beatdown.
Okay.
Because I mean I did get it's not like I got necessarily punched in the face a lot when I was a kid, but you know, like
you
punked. I got stuffed in trash cans and like knocked down, and you know, because I brought D&D books to school and I was in chess club and I was always playing chess before, during lunch and after school, and so you know, I mean I was really prime fodder for and I was also very small. I was like 4'10" until my sophomore year of high school.
Damn.
And so it was very easy to knock me around. And naturally as I got older, I always kind of wanted, in my mind I wanted to go back and like, I wish I could have hit
this guy. Yeah.
So, you know, tell me a little bit about Bully Beatdown.
I think that's the universal appeal of Bully Beatdown, is that I think a lot of like everybody pretty much have dealt with bullying in some, you know, manner.
And I mean, you can't always reason with a bully. I've been able to talk my way out of it sometimes by...
I think it has a universal appeal because of that. And you know, when you put a guy who's used to punking everybody, and you put him against a dude his same size, who really knows how to fight, who really knows the art of physicality, you know, man, guys get humble real quick. You know, and I mean that's what Bully Beatdown does. It's like we humble out the bully.
Now, is that humbling good in the long term, or does that pack more rage into the bullies?
Well, I think it's good in the long term because you know I'm putting on national television. You know, like I'm like, hey guys, look, this can happen to you too. You know, I gave on the first episode of the season, I fought the bully, and I gave kind of a after school special speech right after the fight. Like, I was like, dude, I was like, really? And I gave like the breakdown, like, it's not right to beat up someone just because you can.
Right.
There's always somebody out there who's bigger and meaner and badder than you are, no matter what. It's always like that. So, you know, I'm just like, why can't I be awesome and you be awesome too? Like, let's just.
That is a nice message.
Isn't it?
And that's one to grow on.
Exactly.
Motherfucker. That would be. So you fought the bully. I assumed you. You probably didn't destroy him. You probably just.
I was like embarrassed fairly nice to him, but yeah, I like gave him like I was surgical with how I did it.
Where did you find a bully that was the size of you?
Yeah, I know. He's a 200-pound dude. That was a big dude. He was like a knucklehead. And I mean, you know, I was in there. I just let him. I kind of let him play and. Little bit. I let him punch me in the face to show him, okay, come on, punch me in the face. You know, he punched me, and then I just gave him like a good this one and that one, and he just fall down, you know. I just wanted to get the message across that, you know, the fighting thing, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's your attitude. It's your mindset. You know, and I think it's good for the younger audience to really realize that it's not. It's not cool, you know what I mean? It's not cool to bully the guy. There's nothing great about that. And I think that, you know, with this kind of wave of what we're seeing now, like everybody's, it's a hot button topic right now, bullying in the schools.
Well, I think when you go back and look, like when I go back and look at the dudes, I mean, I went to grade school in Tennessee, and I think when you go back and look at a lot of those dudes who were bullies, what you would probably uncover is that they had pretty miserable home lives. Yeah. And like to the point where, you know, if you could go back in time and be like, now I'm going to kick your ass, bully, but then you sort of opened up the, you know, like you went down the rabbit hole of what their lives would be, you'd probably be really sad.
You'd be really sad
and be like, all right, I don't approve of what you're doing, but I understand it.
A great show, Louis C.K. show.
It's incredible.
Great.
The bully episode, yes.
The bully episode, he follows the bully home, and what? His parents are bullying him. It rolls down the circle of life.
It is. We don't have to pay. No, we shouldn't have to pay royalties for these fine songs.
Making money, Chris.
And then he goes,
don't have to pay.
Why do you always remind me that?
I'm just saying.
I love that scene where Louis is sitting on the porch with the father, who's just, it's clear like the mother's a psychopath.
Yeah.
And the father's just like, I don't know what to do. And
yeah.
That's what I love about Louis' show is that it's just a thing that he had to get out, and it didn't have to be nonstop, you know, now we're going to end with a joke. Like, it was a very special episode.
I thought that episode was hilarious. Somebody said, like, oh, you didn't see the bully episode? I'm like, huh, no, not yet. And I downloaded it, but I haven't watched
it yet. Kid they cast as the bully, but like,
great.
He just had the most hateful bully
face.
Great. Yeah.
I was like, damn, this little kid is making me mad. Like, I want to punch him in the face right now. But Louis C.K., that was a damn good show, man.
It's a great show, it's coming back for a second season. What other comics do you, because obviously you seem like a little bit of a comedy nerd.
Yeah, no, I'm a comedy nerd for sure. I heart Chris Hardwick. I'm serious. Like, I was like, when you dropped off TV, like, I was all stoked on you on the damn Singled Out.
Oh, nice.
I was like, yeah, wow, this guy's funny. Like, I was like, I want to be like him when I grow up. I was like, as I was like out there, it didn't matter. I didn't have a TV anyway. I was freaking homeless. I didn't even ever know if you're on TV. And then when you, like, recently you come back and had all this, like, I'm like, man, Chris Hardwick's on TV again. I'm all stoked. But I have, like, you know, to me, comedy is such an awesome art, you know, like, and I think it's so great and kind of underappreciated. Like, people don't really realize that the fact that I'm making you laugh is artistic. Like, it's like there's like technique to all of it, and then people just go, ha, ha, that's funny, ha, ha. But then if you hang out with comedians, you see that there's like this fine-tuned thing to it, you know. And my fights, I like watch comedy and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you like to watch?
I like Rogan, man. Joe Rogan is so funny, man. He has like this perspective of I think that a lot of men at this time in America. Feel, you know what I mean? Like, I like his stuff. Who else do I like?
I like Rogan. We've traded tweets about coming. We've traded tweets. It sounds so weird.
God,
we
sounds sexual.
It does. We swap tweets with our mouths. We've been talking about getting him on the show. He's a genuinely good dude. Like, I really like Joe.
Oh, I'll get him on the show. He's my friend.
He'll come. Yeah,
I'll make him. I'll go. Yo, if you don't come on Chris Lerner's podcast, I'll break your face.
Oh my God, I would love to. You know, we need to set up like a. There's a movie in the early 80s called My Bodyguard. Like, I think it might have been Matt Dillon's first movie. We need to set up that kind of relationship between you and me, because I notice what happens is sometimes when you retweet something that I say on Twitter, I get a couple responses from some USC fans, very cool, very smart dudes. Other ones, maybe not so much.
Why? What did they say?
Oh, just a lot of stuff like, you're a stupid piece of shit. You know, like,
really?
Like some of the guys, you know, it's always like, if I see a dude who's in shape and he's wearing like the UFC gear, I'm like, okay, I get it.
Tap out shirt.
You can tap out shirt, but when you see like some doughy dude who's you know, like with his eyebrows are growing together and he's wearing the tap out shirt, I'm like, you do look pretty tapped out. You mayonnaise pasty sack of ranch dressing.
Employee, did you ever see that one?
No.
What?
At Target, apparently you can just wear any red shirt.
Yeah,
you
wear a red shirt.
And there was a guy that had a red tap out shirt.
Nice.
And this crazy muffin top.
Nice.
I took the picture. I made sure I cropped his face up, but I took the picture and I tweeted it. That was the one that got on the front page of Twitter.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
That guy. So I was like, awesome. Apparently Target's wear any red shirt policy has gone too
far. But that's what's so fascinating to me is that because you can't ever control, you know, who's gonna consume the stuff that you put out there. And I'm sure, in as much as you try to put the message out there, like, it's not cool to just go around and punch people in the face, you know, willy-nilly just because you can and because, you know, there should be a certain art to it. You know, I'm sure you still have some people that might come up to you and be like, yeah, I beat the shit out of this kid the other day. And you're like, dude, that's not the point of this.
No one ever does that to me now because they understand that my whole deal is, you know, a stance away from that. Like, no, it's not cool to punk people. But it's cool. You know what's cool is going in and competing against somebody in my sport. Mm-hmm. If you can go in and compete and you learn the art and you train hard, well, yeah, then you deserve some respect to fight somebody in a fair fight.
Yeah.
But fighting somebody who – picking on somebody is ridiculous. Like, I think the young guys know that and don't Twitter to me that they beat up somebody. You know what I mean? At Mayhem Miller. Dude, I beat up my brother. He weighs 80 pounds less than me, but it was awesome. Armbar.
It was not awesome, armbar.
Yeah.
It was not awesome at all.
Yeah.
So what's it like for you now? I mean, like, you've genuinely, like, people know who you are. You made a name for yourself.
No, I get paparazzoed sometimes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, really? Like, bro, I will punch you in the face.
You think Sean Penn punches a camera hard?
I know, right? I will knock your freaking
lens down. I will punch through Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Through your camera.
Yeah, but it's definitely a strange thing because now I'm MTV guy and, like, weird. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, because before it was just mixed martial arts fans.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you know, whatever. But now I've elevated to this strange status of, like, TV guy. So, I don't know. It's definitely weird. It's different. That's for sure.
I love it. It's just sort of like watching so many of my friends from comedy who were just embraced by comedy nerds.
Yeah.
And now are just popping now, like, you know, like Patton Oswalt or, you know.
Or Paul F. Tompkins.
Or Paul F. Tompkins.
That guy's awesome, too.
Paul is amazing.
Right? Like, that's one of my favorite comedians, man.
You know, you watch Patton and Paul, and every time you see those guys, they will have a new, like, 20 minutes. You're like, when did you fucking write that? It sounds polished.
I know. I'm always stoked when I see that they can write that quick, you know?
It is. It's really amazing. But it really comes down to, and I'm sure you kind of feel this, too, it really comes down to, you know, just being comfortable with who you are, figuring out what your point of view is.
Yeah.
And as a UFC fighter, do you feel like I have a fighting point of view, I have a fighting style. Was that organic?
Yeah,
did you develop that?
I also have, like, I can't help it. Like, my point of view is kind of like real guy, smartass. Like, just like, I'm really, like, kind of lower middle class, like, this is me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm who I am. Kind of deal. And I think that people think that's hilarious because there's a lot of people out there. There's this giant middle class that goes, yeah, I think the same way you do, you know? And I feel like, oh, cool. There's a lot of dudes like around my age who feel the same way I do. So when I say something like funny, everyone cracks up. Or when I make like something, but you know, now that I have this MTV thing, I have like weird like fans that, like, I made a fat girl joke and oh my goodness, like all the fat girls on my Twitter lost their mind. Like they were so angry that I made a fat girl joke. I was like, come on. It was just a joke. Some of my best sister is fat.
Yeah, you can't, you have to be, you know, in like when you get into the public eye, at least I'm told, I'm not saying I am, but at least I'm told that you have to learn to become a little bit more of a politician in some ways.
You can't say retard.
You can't. You're not. It's not. People don't appreciate that word.
To me, like, I don't even think. Whenever I have said the word retard, I never think of like somebody with Down syndrome.
Well, that's the thing.
I always think a dude who is wearing a tap out shirt at Target. You know, like, that's what I think.
Well,
you know?
That's.
I never think anybody. I never. Can I take that back?
Yeah, we'll take it back. but yeah, it is interesting. It is interesting how on Twitter or just, you know, the social network that, you know, we're at a time now where you get instant feedback for stuff that you say. And, you know, you think 20 years ago, people would just spout off stuff and then maybe they would get some blowback from it, you know. But now, it's just that now, because you're seeing it all in real time.
Real time, it's shocking.
That it puts you in a position where you have to become more aware.
Yeah.
Where you just have to become more aware. And, you know, truthfully, I don't like I feel bad if, you know, if I say something and then someone writes me an email and says, you know, this really upset me because I'm having this personal experience. And then I'm like, ah, yeah, you're right. I'm a dick.
Yeah,
I'm
so sorry. Super guilty about the fat girl tweet because I was like, oh, sorry, guys. I didn't know that, like, you wouldn't think that was funny. Like,
right.
It was funny. Come on. But then I was like, well, what am I doing now? Now I'm, like, getting into the territory of I got to, like, watch every joke that I make.
Well, because what happens is you get very comfortable. Because, listen, I think anyone who says that they do not make inappropriate jokes in the privacy of their own home with their immediate friend and family circle is lying. Yeah. You know, like, everyone – and the reason that we make inappropriate jokes is because it's fun. Yeah. It's fun
it's
to sort of rebel against.
Yeah,
it's not
funny.
You don't really mean the thing you're saying.
Yeah.
There's an irony to it where it's more the idea of, like, this thing I'm saying is really awful and it's naughty. I mean, like, that's what a lot of, like, that sort of taboo aspect is, you know, like, what a lot of comedy stems from.
Yeah.
So I totally understand it, but it's just that, you know, when you have a large number of people listening to what you're saying, it becomes more difficult to say the stuff that you would say to your friends and family because not everyone knows you on a personal level, and they don't know that, like, oh, Mayhem, he's not real, or Hardwick, they don't really mean that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they see what you're saying at face value and go, like, hey man, you're fucked up, and you're like, ah, shit. No. I'm a big cock.
Yeah,
I'm a big cock. So what season of?
It's the third season. Yeah,
third season.
So I mean, it's legit now. Like, you know, and it's crazy to see it have taken off so wild. Because I kind of was like, I did the pilot. Like, just give me my pilot money, and I'm going to Vegas.
Right.
Like, that was – I didn't care. You know, I was like, I don't care. I'm fighting in Japan. I like fighting in Japan, and I don't even give a damn about TV. But then once I saw how fun it was and saw – then I got, like, a feeling of the crew. Like, everybody was cool. I was like, oh, the crew is cool as hell. Like, oh, well – now everybody's relying on me to make the show good. Like, ah, then I was like, had a, like a little tension, like, oh my God, I gotta actually learn my lines.
Was there any part of it where you were able to, were you able to cross train in the sense? Were you able to use disciplines
from fighting?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, to me, it's all fighting. The entire life is fighting because everything you do, like if you are trying to, you know, go pass the driver's license exam, it's the same thing as okay, I have to use my techniques. I have to train this jab, cross, hook, jab, cross, hook, jab, cross, hook. I do this over and over again, over and over again. Then when the moment is right in the fight, I have to use that. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you have to remember to leave two car lengths in front of you on the freeway, you have to put the answer the test, you know.
Sure.
And everything in life is like that, you know. You have to, you know, for your comedy, you write your bits, you rehearse them, you think them in your head, you do them, you sharpen them to the perfect way you can make everybody laugh, and then you execute.
Yeah.
You know, it's to me, life is a big fight.
I absolutely feel like it's, you know, I had a friend once who said, you know, in life there are scrappers and there are floaters.
Yeah.
In the sense that some people, you know, some people, it just sort of seems like, oh my God, they just got that job, they just got that thing,
yeah,
they just got that, you know, that girlfriend. Like, everything seems to come very easy to them, and they seem very relaxed. Other people are scrappers, and I feel like that's the category I fall into.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the beginning of my career was very floaty. I fell into this MTV job; it was very sweet. And then after that was over, I didn't work for quite a few years, and I felt like I had to fucking scrap.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I am nonstop trying to punch through this goddamn tree.
Cinderella story, baby. No, because you know what, though? I mean, a lot of people, to me, you're awesome. Here's why you're awesome.
Oh, I love it.
Is because a lot of people in that position, you got in that show like a while back. Man, you could have just blipped off into Nowhereville. Like, oh, yeah, you did that show.
That sort of happened, yeah.
Yeah, but no, but you, damn, you're talented and you worked your ass off, and now you're back in this, like, you're Mr. Cool guy again.
I don't know about that, but I appreciate it.
Well, you're Mr. Cool nerd guy.
Okay,
you're the nerdist.
Okay.
Like, you've, like, got your place in entertainment society of, hey, I'm this guy, boom, I'm right here. And, you know, I think that, like, you deserve it because you worked your ass off.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. And I love the thing that's so fascinating to me is that the majority of my life I completely rebelled against, you know, physical anything that was more physical in terms of sports, in terms of fitness. You know, I always rebelled against that because I was like, yeah, that's a whole, fuck those guys, they're meatheads.
Yeah.
then I started training with this guy, my friend Tom, like 5 years ago. And this the weirdest thing happened, which is that, and he said this would happen, but I just couldn't understand it until it was actually happening. And I hope I don't sound like too much of a jock when I say this, but you learn things about yourself when through fitness. Like, yeah. You learn lessons about your life when you're training, yeah. And how to push through boundaries. You learn who you are more as a person from a physical level that you can then take and apply to emotional things and to non-physical things. And I feel like I learned so much about myself just from regularly exercising, yeah. And I would have thought that was a huge pile of bullshit before. Yeah. So it is really fascinating to me.
Yeah, mind body connection, man. It's a weird thing.
It really is, because for what you do, I mean, I hope people appreciate that it's not that your life isn't just, you know, stepping in a ring for however long you're in there and, you know, beating the shit out of someone or getting punched. It's like the majority of your life is spent in preparing for that. And that is a fucking incredible amount of discipline.
Yeah, my last fight was 2 minutes, you know, like 2 minutes. And my friend's like, man, you didn't even work. Like, you didn't even have to. You didn't break a sweat. I'm like, man, listen, the last 6 weeks before this, all I've been doing is hiding in my damn Orange County house, training and training.
Yeah.
That's my entire life, is just working out, punching somebody, and that's it. I'm like, all day long, I'm fighting dudes who are super tough, like my friends. They're my friends, and I'm like trying to fight them with all my might every Monday, Wednesday, Friday with 16-ounce gloves on, and we're just beating each other because I'm trying to get better and better so that way when the fight comes, it's an easy fight, mm-hmm. You know? And that's what happened. Like, I beat the guy in 2 minutes, but no one sees the hours. And on top of that, let's not even go there. Let's go before that. The years and years that I spent, like, training. Because it feels good to go in there, beat the guy up 2 minutes, and get a hefty paycheck. But that hefty paycheck came from years and years and years of getting punched in the
face.
That's
really funny you say that. You know, Rob Zombie said it to me once, like, right? I was like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, being a music guy is pretty awesome. You know, it's like you get all this money or whatever. And he was like, yeah, but when you average out like the 15 years that we were making $0,
exactly.
You know, it sort of kind of starts to average out a little bit. And you're like,
that's totally right. Know. I'm like, every time, because I remember I was like at a party and like I was at a crazy like pool party and like, I had these two chicks like sitting on and like in the jacuzzi like holding on to me and like I was like, yeah, I'm the man right now.
I don't know what
like,
that's like.
I felt kind of like the man right now, and like some dude went, man, you're a lucky guy, and I was like, I'm not lucky. Like, I made this happen. Like, I was begging for this to happen because I'm just living in my van outside of the Huntington Beach Ultimate Training Center for a year. I lived outside of the gym, and I never even saw what a bed looked like. I slept on the mats.
And the guy was like, oh, I'm sorry.
And like, whoa, dude.
That was a lot of information all at once out of a jacuzzi.
The girls all ran outside.
The girls are crying.
Yeah,
Where'd everyone go?
Oh, shit. My bad.
No, but I had a therapist once tell me, because I was complaining about
I need to go to therapy.
You know, it's you know, therapy, I support therapy because I feel like it's brain training. It's the same way you train your body. I feel like it's important to have a therapist, even if you don't feel like you're fucked up, because I think people need an outlet. They need someone that they can talk to for an hour a week or whatever, that where they can completely be selfish, where the other person will not judge you. You need to get that shit out. Like, it's important to work through that stuff.
I'm gonna try that.
I'm telling you, it helps give you a bird's eye view. You know, for someone who you know, like sees the mind body connection and trains your body sort. Yeah. I feel like it's good, even if you don't feel like you have problems, just to have someone once a week. Because, you know, what happens is you get in relationships and, you know, you don't want to make your friends or your significant other your therapist, where you just complain all the time. I mean, I do that, and it sucks for my girlfriend, so I have a therapist. But what I was going to say is that I said to a therapist, oh, man, this other person, you know, when you start doing comparative, like, oh, that other guy seems to have it so easy, he's so lucky or whatever. And she was like, no. You make your own luck.
Yeah.
You make your own luck. So, like, sometimes flukes can happen.
Oh, for sure.
But you make your own luck. And if you're going to stay on top in any field, you have to be dedicated to your craft.
I think that in general, in life, if you like, keep your nose to the grindstone and, like, don't worry about them. Like, that's the hardest thing to do, because, like, I have buddies, like, all he's worried about is what that guy's getting.
Yeah.
If you just like kind of like keep your nose down and just keep working and try to be the best you, then all of a sudden things get easier for you.
Yeah.
And you're not spending excess energy worrying about whoever else is whatever else is happening.
Yeah, I mean there, you know what? There is a finite economy of energy, and yeah, and you can't focus. You can only focus on one thing at a time, and you can't focus on what other people are doing and focus on your own thing at the same time and get better. So
yeah
and of course, you know, in acting or comedy in the entertainment business, because is there a lot of insecurity in the, like, do you see a ton of insecurity?
Fight?
Yeah,
the fight business, hell yeah,
it's so interesting.
Ridiculous. Yeah, it's so weird. You see like a ridiculous amount of insecurity. Like the guys, I'm like, these big tough dudes are really scared little boys. Like that's what it is, you know. And that's what that, you know, you can see it. You can see it happening, you know. And I feel really weird about it. I feel really weird like saying that, because I'm like, dude, you are supposed to be tough. And you know, it's just one of those things. I guess everybody has their insecurities, you know, and whatever. But you know, that even the tough guys, it comes out some which way.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we're still all emotional creatures.
We're all like, remember when you used to think there were grown-ups?
I know.
You know, like Rogan has a whole bit on it. Like, remember, you thought there were grown-ups, and I'm like, he's totally right. Like, yeah. I'm like, because I remember thinking, oh, this guy has all the answers. Like,
right.
Somebody has all the answers, and I think your dad knows everything. And then one day you're like, oh, my dad's just like a dumb dude, just like me.
And that's a weird moment in anyone's life when you, because I think it really, it almost puts mortality in your face.
Doesn't
like when you really have that moment of clarity of like, my parents were just two people who fucked and had a kid,
right?
And and that's it. Like they're not, you know, yeah, like to. Maybe on a certain biological level, we're pre-programmed to think they have all the answers, so we don't like wander off
as kids. Yeah.
But yeah, it's really scary that now we are, you know.
I was bitter at my old man a lot, like for a while, because like he would whip my ass, and like we butted heads all the time, whatever. But then I like realized that like he had me at 20, and I'm like,
wow.
Yeah. So I'm like,
the kid.
Yeah, he's a kid having a kid. So I'm like, what the hell? I'm trying to think me right now. I'm damn near 30.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what if I had a little damn 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid? Like,
right.
I would be out of my mind. Like, I'd be like, what do I do with this little bastard? You know? And he's 10 and he's like starting to ask me about boners and stuff. Like, I'm like, what do I do? You know? Like, well, I don't even know what to say.
You tell him that boners are shameful.
Yeah, exactly.
And when he can beat you up, he's a man.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. So what's next, man? What are you traveling a lot? What are you doing next?
Yeah, I'm traveling a lot. Man, I'm going over to do a wrestling camp now. Like, I'm going to go wrestle with my buddy. But also I'm going to stop on the way and go hunting with my dad.
What?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. And it's great because I was dating this chick who's like totally into animals. And she's like, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to Missouri. She's like, what are you doing out there? I was like,
you know.
Yeah, you know, family outing. You know, she's like, are you going hunting? I'm like, I'm not going to kill anything. And in my hunting experience, because when I was a kid, hunting basically is just walking around the woods and sitting there and waiting and doing nothing. And if I see a deer, I will be very surprised.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and if I kill one, I'll be super surprised because I don't know how to shoot a gun.
I think what you should do is just rip your shirt off and just go fucking.
Bro, always thought of that. I was like, what animal? What's the biggest animal that I could kill with nothing but like a buck knife? Like, what could I kill? Like, I'm like.
With a buck knife, you can probably get pretty big.
You can probably get
right. Are you kidding me, man? A cow? You think I could kill a cow?
Yeah, you could kill a cow with a buck knife.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know, dude.
No, you slit its throat,
man.
Yeah, but you just slit its throat.
Yeah, right.
All you gotta do is slit its throat.
It's pretty, look, listen. Their skin is made of leather.
It is made of leather.
You think I could just?
What are they? Their skin. They're not animal. You know, like I'm surprised people aren't spraying cows with spray paint. Like leather is wrong, cows.
But I'm just saying, like, how am I gonna? You know, I think maybe I could jump down from a tree onto them or something.
Yeah, I think if you jump with anything,
jump down.
What was that movie with Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins where they're? They're in the woods, and Anthony Hopkins is like, "What one man can do, another man can do," and he kills a bear, a grizzly bear stalking them, and he fucking ties it onto a stick and then kills the bear.
What is that called? Cabin? No.
Is it Cabin
Fever?
Is that Cabin? Oh, the edge of Hopkins.
You'll know at home.
Bears. It's called Bears a Poppin'.
Google it.
I don't Google. What's that?
I don't know.
Oh, that right. The internet.
Oh, you mean spell check?
Yeah.
Google.
Autocorrect.
I just like.
What is the biggest animal you think you could kill with your hands?
I don't know, man. I've been thinking about it a lot.
Every podcast from now on with what's the biggest animal you think you could kill?
I kill your bare hands. See, because I said a cow, but because I thought I could catch one, whatever. But I talked to cowboys. With my bare hands, you cannot kill a cow.
No.
Like their necks are too big. Yeah, no. I thought maybe I could jump on them and choke them to death. Nope.
No.
Their necks are way too big.
Doesn't work that way.
So I'm thinking, what, like, and I can't really catch any of the smaller animals. You know, like,
no.
How am I going to, can't catch a rabbit. For sure, I can't catch a rabbit. He'll be
Maybe
gone.
Maybe koala bear?
You could easily kill
a koala
bear.
No, but
they have like razor sharp talons.
That's true.
You do, but all you have to do is put them on a eucalyptus tree that's not their specific strain of eucalyptus tree and they'll starve to death.
There you go.
Because they're fucking picky.
Yeah, it's true.
Finicky eaters.
Nice try, koalas. I don't think there's any animal that I could.
Don't feel bad, man. Animals are on a whole other level, man. Like, don't feel bad because I'm a professional fighter. I'm pretty much a badass, but I don't think I can kill a kangaroo.
And can I tell you the truth of the matter is I had that classic experience when I was 16 years old where my friend had a pellet gun and there was a bird way off in the distance.
Sure.
And I was like, hey, look at this, pop, and I hit it. And it fell down, it was injured, and we went over, and he had to finish it off.
Oh.
And I was a fucking emotional wreck.
You cried?
What
did Atticus Finch teach you about that?
I know.
Tell me a lesson about life. Come to find out, my dad, when he was the same age, had the exact same experience with a BB gun.
Oh, man.
Shot a bird, killed it, and it just tore him up inside.
Yeah.
And I always feel
it. Why are you telling me this now? Because what if I kill a deer?
No.
I'm going to feel really bummed because they're like closer to our cousins.
They're a little. Yeah.
I can't wait to like run out there like naked and smear the blood on my chest and then like give the Avatar speech like, oh, mokatakarato, I thank you for your
bones what you can
and
do.
Body.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
That's what you can do. As long as you.
I can't wait to put my ponytail into their butt.
Your father stands by confused.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Why are you naked? It's 30 degrees out here.
As long as you eat the meat and wear the skin and use the hooves as cutting tools,
yeah.
Then I think it's totally
can't wait to make my hoof necklace.
Well, I think we're right about at the end of our hour, but I know we're exactly an hour, but
we're having fun.
It was so nice for you to come on, and I'm so fascinated.
Magical journey right
now. See, I'm the type of guy who, now that I have an emotional connection to UFC, now I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to watch you fight. I know that guy.
It's mixed martial arts. Yeah, you keep saying UFC, but.
You can't.
But, I mean,
that's because I'm an idiot and I don't understand how it works.
It's okay. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh, UFC is a separate.
UFC is the organization.
UFC is an organization.
MMA is what I do. It's
MMA is what you do.
Mixed martial arts.
That's like calling all tissues Kleenex.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. Yeah,
it's the CFL of the NFL.
Yeah, it's kind of like the.
Those are letters. I don't know what you're talking about.
LMNOP and the QRS.
The NBC, the National Bowling Association?
Yeah.
Yes.
The other NBA.
Oh,
My father knows all about that.
Yeah. Is there anything, websites? I know you're Mayhem Miller on Twitter.
Yeah, and I'm Mayhem Miller at Twitter. I'm Mayhem Miller at everything. So, like, Mayhem Miller is just me.
Did you run through
I'm
the experience
Mayhem
of
Miller.
Finding another Mayhem Miller online and then going and swooping up every domain
Listen,
you could find?
Yeah, you know what? I never found. Actually, somebody has Mayhem Miller at MSM, which I was kind of bitter about. I'm like, how the hell did they. Whatever. And I think that and somebody like had texted me or emailed, James, is this you? And I'm like, there's a James Mayhem Miller out there. I'm like, awesome.
Yes,
like,
I'm J. Mayhem Miller.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, the other one.
I know. That's sort of really crazy. I'm like, whatever.
Do you believe the Fight Club thing where they say, how can you really know who you are unless you've been in a fight?
The best compliment I've ever got from my little sister is, you are real life Tyler Durden. And I was like, yeah, because I'm just like giving like the common man like kind of a fighting voice. Like, I'm just like, yeah, we're all dorks. Let's all fight. Like, you could still be awesome.
Wait a minute. Maybe I'm just realizing you're a figment of my imagination. You're an extension of my brain. Like, because I have an Edward Norton vibe.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, my God.
You could totally redo that movie.
Is he really not here? We're going to finish this podcast. You're going to be like, Chris, you just talked to yourself the whole time.
Yeah. I didn't make up some nerdy comedian to make myself feel better.
Or are you my fight club?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We're fight clubs of each other. That becomes a verb.
Way too much.
Mayhem Miller, this was a genuine pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the Nerdist podcast.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy your burrito,
podcast.
America. Podcast time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
Is win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying, lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT. Stream free on Amazon Freevee or Prime Video.